This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I will break down how the Chiefs are looking during the preseason, especially the performance of rookie George Karlaftis. But first, Joe, I listened to you on the Border Patrol on A10 radio. And you've done an Elvis Presley impersonation, a Rocky Balboa impersonation. Are we going to have to start incorporating these talents of yours into our pod?
I think we might have to, Jeff. It just kind of comes up, you know, when you only have, you know, a very short time to, you know, make a little bit of an impact there on a radio spot. You know, you want to use all your good material, you know, that we're dragging this thing out, you know, week after week, you know, for a half an hour or so. You know, I can't condense everything in. So, you know, I feel a little bit of pressure to get all the good comedic and, you know, impersonation material out there, but it's been a lot of fun. You know, Steven and Nate have been great to, you know, chat with and, you know, just kind of talk real quickly about, you know, what's happened during the week and what they're seeing and what's coming up. You know, I get to joke around with them about Tim Grunhard a little bit and, you know, cause they have their, they do some pretty regular stuff with him, on the radio. So I'm excited to be joining them and to share the thoughts. It's great. It's great to connect with the KC community in any way you can.
Yeah,
about this team.
Tell listeners, in case they want to hear these impressions of you, I mean, we'll be doing some of that on Believe in Chiefs, but in case they want to hear your Elvis impressions or perhaps your analysis of the Chiefs,
yeah,
where more important. And when should they listen to you?
Yeah, so it's on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and it's also recorded on the Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. So if you want to hear it live, it would be at 7:30 Central Time or 8:30 Eastern Time. So is when we're live and on the air with the guys. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a great way to start my Tuesday off.
And you can also listen to, I actually have been listening to it on the podcast because Joe, it's 7:30 Central Time. God willing, I'm either still in bed, or if I'm not, I'm chasing around a 1.5-year-old or the dog. So that's another way to listen to it.
You got a lot on your plate at 7:30 in the morning. I'm assuming that most of the people are, for those who are venturing into offices at this point, doing a little commuting, or maybe waking up with their coffee and, you know, emptying the dishwasher or something like that in the morning. So yeah, but it's a lot of fun. And so you're right. It's kind of convenient, right? With all these streaming services and the way that we can record things and post clips and whatnot to catch it. So, but yeah, it is live 7:30 Central on 810 and yeah, on the podcast, the Border Patrol. So yeah, they do some nice clips and Mark Berger is on there and just, they got a lot of really good guests. Jamie Pluma is on there a lot. So it's good
old
stuff.
Royals pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I really enjoyed listening into it for sure. Well, Joe, the Chiefs, especially the first stringers, have looked great this preseason. I'm perhaps most excited about rookie George Karlaftis. And part of that is because the Chiefs' biggest issue last year was their pass rush. They ranked fourth worst in the NFL in sacks, and that's with the added advantage of, you know, the Arrowhead crowd. So anyhow, Karlaftis, just 31 pass rushing snaps this preseason in the two games combined. He has two sacks and five pressures in those 31 pass rushing snaps. And against the Commanders, one even came against a double team. Joe, how good can Karlaftis be?
I think he can be one of the greats, Jeff. He's got the supporting cast to go with it, right? He's got an excellent secondary behind him right now to hold off the, you know, the receiving core a little bit longer than, you know, or hold them off long enough to let him get some pressure. He's got quick linebackers to get into coverage so they can stop the short passes and give him a little bit more time to get to the quarterback. So I think he's got all the supporting cast. And hey, I think I know who's just as excited about George Karlaftis as you are. And I think that's Frank Clark.
Yeah,
I think it opens up a ton for Frank Clark, because just like you and I've talked about this before, Jeff, when you have multiple pass rushers, you don't know where to slide the protection. And you know, when I always think back, and I know I've used this analogy before in this kind of comparison, but in 1992, when we played the Eagles at Arrowhead, and we knew Reggie White was coming in, you know, I'll never forget the meeting room, and Howard Mudd, our offensive line coach, turned to John Alt and said, "You know, John, you know Clyde Simmons, right?" And he's like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, you're going to really know him well this week." And the reason was because he was going to be on his own with them. And he was not getting any slide protection. He wasn't getting any chip protection. He was going to be lucky if he got a tight end to, you know, kind of hold Clyde off a little bit, because we had to push all the protection to Reggie White because we knew he needed a double or sometimes a triple team. So, you know, if you get two edge rushers like that that can absorb those tackles, and then quarterbacks don't know where to slide the protection to, based on where the Mike linebacker lines up and who they declare as the, you know, hot linebacker, it's going to open it up for both Frank and for George, you know, and whether or not George becomes the guy that they all double team and Frank gets singled or vice versa, it's going to be, you know, hopefully open season for one of those guys to on the quarterback. So that's what I'm most excited about, having the multiple threats. Nothing against Mike Dana. I think, you know, he's a good player. He's solid, but he's not going to demand a chip. He's not going to demand a tight end in, you know, he's not going to demand the pushing of the offensive guard who's uncovered all the way pushing that way. So I just think the two of those guys together are really going to be a force.
And if Dana, yeah, Dana is like a nice, like you said, he's a nice piece. If he can be like a
Yeah.
rotational guy, you know,
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't want him 60 snaps a game, but if he can be a rotational guy, he does bring something. Is he's good in that role. And Joe, you know, Karlaftis has been doing it against good competition, against the Commanders. I almost said Redskins, but I corrected myself
It's
mentally.
okay.
Against the Commanders. A lot of times I saw him going against Samuel Cosby, who was a guy that I thought the Chiefs, he was part of that group of tackles that I thought the Chiefs might look at in the first or second or you know before they traded for Orlando Brown, and he hasn't been great, but he was very talented in college at Texas, so that's a pretty good comp if you have a rookie going against a second year guy who is a first rounder versus second rounder, first rounder this year, second rounder. Last year. Now to just so we're not getting too premature. Joe, do you think there's, you know, anything to the fact that maybe he's facing more vanilla blocking schemes or things like that, or are you sold already?
No, I'm sold. I think, you know, he's been running with, you know, he's been running with the ones. He's been getting in there in early reps. It's not as if he's doing this in the fourth quarter of games. He's getting in early and he's showing his wares early in the game, which is good, which is what you want to see. And listen, every day he's going against some great linemen with the Chiefs. So it's not as if he's, you know, he's got Orlando Brown. He's going, you know, I'm sure if he's flip-flopping sides, he's going against Andrew Wiley. I mean, he's going against veterans who know what they're doing, and he's getting a lot of work. I mean, it's like the inverse of what happened to me my rookie year, you know, getting to go against Derek Thomas every day. It just made me a better player, and it does. It will make him a better player, you know, repping against those guys every day and to continue to run with the ones, because I think that's going to be the most important thing is to see how this progresses. So, and you know, I think Andy, you know, Andy's a kind of coach. He's not going to sit these guys, I don't think, especially with, you know, not having the multiple, or not having the extra game, right? Having three games. And I think the starters are probably going to play a little bit this week. I think they'll get out there. I don't think he's just going to sit them, because then he's going to have to go 2 weeks without them playing.
Is there some facet you're looking through it at it, watching him through kind of a lineman's eyes? Is there some facet of his game, his repertoire that really jumps out? Maybe, you know, they talk about his motor a lot, so maybe it's that, or maybe it's
That's,
his handwork or so. Joe, what jumps off the screen for you about
yeah, you're reading my diary again, Jeff. I
him?
was just, that's it. Those are the two things I was about to say, because that's what you want on it with an edge pass rusher. You know, you want the hands, right? It becomes a hand battle. As athletic as tackles have gotten, you know, it becomes a real sort of karate to use that sort of martial arts type of an analogy, that it becomes a hand-to-hand combat almost, because everybody's athletic, everybody's fast, everybody's big, right? Look at the size of some of these left tackles these days, and the right tackles are enormous, and long, with long arms and great feet. So it becomes, that real small space that you have to fight in. It's not this big giant field anymore. It's this little tiny battle that goes on with the hands and the chopping of the arms, and being able to then get into, the tackle's body and shoot those long arms in and get a good bull rush in there when you need to. You have to have, to be a great pass rusher, you have to have everything in your repertoire. You can't just be speedy, because they'll catch on to you. You can't just be a bull rusher, because then they'll just double team you and hit you in the ribs. When the guard comes out to help the tackle, you have to have everything. You have to be able to bull rush. You have to be able to look at the offensive tackle's feet and see when they come together and make a move. You've got to be able to see when they shoot their hands and knock them down and get them leaning forward. It's a, you have to have everything in your arsenal when you're going to be an elite pass rusher. That's what I see from him. I think he's got it all. He doesn't just have the speed, he doesn't just have the strength, and he doesn't have just the agility. He's got the kind of total package, is what I think the Chiefs were really looking for. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but that's what we saw out of guys like, Derek Thomas, and some of the really great pass rushers that, had that kind of body type. They just, he's not Chris Jones. He doesn't have that kind of size, right? He's probably not going to be in that Reggie White type category. I mean, Reggie was just, he was just a freak of nature, and with the hip leverage that he had, and how low his center of gravity was, and how long his torso was, and how he could just use that hump move to just lift you up. George doesn't have that, but he's got a good combination of a lot of those skills, and a lot of those attributes that I think are going to make him a long time pass rusher, who's not just going to be somebody who, gets hurries or things like that. I think he's going to turn it into sacks, and not just like pressures.
And he certainly has already. And we're going to be back with more on Karlaftis and some other breaking down some more of the Chiefs roster. But first, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Bet Online continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to Bet Online today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Joe, I think the comp still holds. A lot of people have compared Karlaftis to Ryan Kerrigan, another high motor guy that they both went to Purdue. They're even, kind of friendly with each other, obviously, Purdue edge rushers. And to say the high motor thing, that's, Karlaftis is also very athletic. I'm not trying to, he's a guy who's, 6'4". I think he was at the combine, he was 266 and ran in the 4.7s. I mean, that's really, really good athleticism. But Joe, out of curiosity for you, if it was like, did you prefer facing the guys who are the high motor guys, or more of just the raw athleticism? What kind of matchup, I guess, how would you match up against Karlaftis, kind of is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, before I answer that, Jeff, one other guy, I think Jared Allen's another one. I think
Oh,
that
nice. Nice.
really, I've been thinking a lot about that as I've been watching him. He obviously spent time with the Chiefs. It's like, gives me a little bit of a feeling of Jared too. Very similar in the way that he plays. No, the guys that, I personally, that, I struggled with, were the guys that had a little bit of that dip, like a George Karlaftis, or like, obviously, Derek Thomas. It was the high motor, like long arms, guys that I struggled with the most because I had long arms. I had, you know, I've really long arms, and I tried to use that to my advantage when I played tackle and get my hands on the edge rushers quick. But if you were going against somebody that could dip their shoulder and turn that corner, those are the guys that were really, really tough because it kind of nullified, so to speak, your long arms, because they would get into your body so fast that you couldn't keep them away. I mean, the guys that I matched up well against were the guys that were, you know, bigger. I actually played better against bigger defensive ends or defensive tackles. I felt like I could match up in pass protection against, you know, guys like here's a name I'll blast from the past from the Cowboys, Jim Jeffcoat, right? Just a
Oh
big,
yeah.
massive guy.
Good player.
I, you know, Neil Smith was the type of player that I liked to go against. I really did not like the players like Rufus Porter was a guy that was a lot of Chiefs fans might remember from the Seahawks. He was a Derek Thomas kind of prototype, where it was dip the shoulder, shorten the corner, use their speed, but they still had enough strength that even though I might have outweighed them by 30, sometimes 40 pounds, you know, it didn't matter because they still had the strength, but they had that little extra bit of speed that allowed them to get into your body faster and sort of negate you know, any long arm, you know, protection that you might have by getting your arms out
Batting
on
your
their
arms.
shoulder.
Yeah.
Those were the guys that were tough. So I definitely put Karloftis in that category as the kind of player that, you know, you really, really didn't like to play against. It's funny because I think John Ault, he actually matched up much better against those types of players. Again, now granted, he was 6'8" and he was an all pro. But I know I used to watch the way that he would block guys like Derek Thomas, and his arms were so long, and he was such a massive force, and he had such good feet. Because John, you know, John played like tight end in his, you know, younger days, and he was a really good athlete. And I think John, you know, and the guys that John didn't match up well with were the kind of the guys that I did. Like he did not like playing against Leslie O'Neal, who was more of a bigger,
Yeah, the big
you know,
bony guys. Yeah.
more of a Neil Smith, Chris Jones type at defensive end. And those are the guys he didn't like. So, because sometimes those guys would get into him.
Chris Jones, we would all label him as probably the best Chiefs defensive player. He's been much more consistent than Frank Clark. But I almost want to say, like, Frank Clark might have been a tougher matchup for you than Chris Jones. Not, I mean, Chris Jones is tough for anybody, just
Well,
going by what you said, body type.
I mean, they would all be tough for me to block,
Right.
but like the guys that I would dread.
Especially maybe a little bit now, right? Maybe a little challenging current 2022
My
Joe
age and weight and you know,
Flacco.
and the shape that I'm in, of course, you know, I could maybe I got I've, you know, maybe a series left in me at this point, but no, I definitely would. I would have looked forward more to playing, well, not that anybody's looking forward to playing these guys. I would have feared less. How's that? I would have feared less going against a Chris Jones than I would you know, a Frank Clark one-on-one. You know, I mean, because it just you give yourself, you know, you have to know what your strengths and your matchups are. So, you know, they're all good, they're all great, and they all give you nightmares when you're an offensive lineman to blocking those guys. But definitely there's always the type of player that you match up better against. I mean, I look back to like as hard of a time as any player had with Reggie White, you know, there wasn't an offensive lineman that ever felt comfortable
Right.
blocking him, except for Eric Williams from the Cowboys. Like, if you can go back to those 90s,
And he was a stalwart. I mean, he was great himself, you know, but
yeah, Eric Williams, you know, was a guy that he just had Reggie's number. Like, Reggie couldn't do anything against him. There's just certain matchups that just work.
Joe, now, I mean, the Chiefs have looked so great. I've really been really their starters up 21 nothing. Mahomes looks unbelievable. He looks so crisp. We mentioned Karloftis. But you know, we're not cheerleaders here. We do have to give the full package. There's never perfection. There are some weaknesses that concern me. One negative I want to talk about the running game. I know we want to talk about the offensive line a little bit too. I actually got, I'm not that active on social media, but I got really, I got a lot of feedback for a tweet, a lot of it negative.
Yeah,
Some
you
agree
sure
with
did.
me. Eric Bieniemy is the offense coordinator, extremely polite, but he's very verbose without saying much, and that's a good thing. It's coach talk. So it was glaring when he said that during his press conference that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that he was working on him, and he was encouraging. He said that he's doing a good job, but he's working on his conditioning. We want him so that he can go 9 plays in a row. I'm working on his wind. And so that, I tweeted that EB said that that Edwards-Helaire had to work on, had to improve his conditioning, and everyone was attacking me like, he didn't say that he was, but if you read between the lines, it was, anyhow,
Yeah.
he has not looked great. The running game as a whole, Ronald Jones, who I was so excited about, has really struggled, as has Derek Gore. Pacheco has shown something in kind of the, as a pass catcher, but it flashes, but he's a seventh round guy. Joe, your level concern about the running game.
We'll go with, like you said, we'll go in the offensive line because it's not the starters I'm worried about. But from the running game perspective, I'm worried about the whole thing.
The
Because
connected offense. Yeah.
what it's doing, Jeff, is it's not really giving the offensive line the confidence that they need to know where the running backs are going to be and where they're going to be, where what holes they're going to be hitting and when they're going to be hitting them. But I talked about a little bit today on the radio, that it could be a chicken and the egg too for like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was so used to having every rep of his life, right? College, like high school, I'm sure college, he was the guy, right? He got all the reps, getting 30, 40 touches a game out of the backfield, right? But all of a sudden you come into this offense that is deep with a deep playbook and a lot of formations and spreading the ball around. You see the way that Patrick is effective at getting the ball to all of his receivers and out of the backfield, tight ends, wide receivers, running sweeps, doing crazy flea flickers. I mean, there's just, they've got so many weapons. And that, you get to a running back who, maybe Clyde just isn't getting into a groove. And maybe he's the type of player that needs to get his motor revved up before he becomes effective. But in this offense, he might happen to him. So I'm concerned. I'm concerned that this is a make or break year for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. To whether or not he's the right guy for this offense. And I know that the Chiefs coordinators, both offensively and defensively, have always worked the playbook around the players. And I do still believe that wholeheartedly. But there is a part of me, Jeff, that still says, you gotta, so at some point you gotta fit into the playbook, right? Like as much as the Chiefs will try to mold the plays around their players, which they've done just spectacularly with Patrick Mahomes, and I think to a certain degree Travis Kelce, and I think Tyreek Hill when he was here,
With
but they're
his speed perfectly fitting a guy with Mahomes' arm strength,
they're just there comes a time even though the Chiefs go out of their way to get players the right kind of plays, there comes a time where you got to kind of fit the playbook. You know what I mean? And I just don't know if Clyde is the guy. I like when he's, I like, he's, he seems like a, just a really great teammate. And I just don't know if he's the right player. And I don't think it needs to be a Derrick Henry either. I don't know if they would want to mold their offense around a guy who's going to want to run the ball 25 or 30 times a game and, 4 yards in a cloud of dust kind of a, package, right? Where it's just pound it with Derek, pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it. So it's going to be interesting to see how this year shakes out for Clyde.
And what's funny, Joe, is about fitting the playbook. I remember watching Edwards-Helaire in college on that fantastic LSU national championship guy game, like, excuse me, that national championship team. And I'm like, this is a guy perfect for the Chiefs offense. He looks so great in space. I thought he would perfectly fit that playbook you're talking about. I think part of it, he has, he's small. He might not be as fast as he should be for a guy of his size. He's very elusive. And also, listen, a big part of it, he's been hurt throughout his career. That's tough for anybody when you're so close. That's often the terminating factor, health in the NFL amongst such skilled players. And it might have robbed him of something when he was coming back.
You never know how the journey of the season goes, right? If you lose a player that's a becomes a target, you know, I mean, God forbid, you know, the Chiefs lost, you know, somebody in their wide receiver or tight end or whatever, and they need to really focus on the run. You know, you never know when somebody's number is going to get called and when they're going to be dependent upon. I just hope that it, you know, I just hope it all comes into place and clicks, you know, as soon as the season starts for Clyde and how they can work him into the offense to make him more effective. And I think it's going to help the offensive line too, because I think right now they're struggling with it. They don't, I just don't think the offensive line and the running backs are really in sync. And it's again, vice versa. I don't know whether it's the line's not in sync with where the running back or the running games is, or whether, you know, the running backs aren't in sync with where the offensive line is blocking and what they're doing to, you know, to create space for the running backs. I mean, I was listening with Tim Grunhart was talking, you know, on the radio about, you know, making sure that this offensive line doesn't become a position blocking offensive line. They need to, you know, Tim and I came from that whole finish your block, don't dictate where the ball carrier is going to go by putting your butt in the hole to position block somebody. Just keep driving guys down the field and let the running backs pick where they want to go left or right, and then you finish the block. Tim was talking about that, and it brought back a, you know, a lot of memories of when running games really get going, like we had in Kansas City back in those days. Like, you know, we didn't tell the running backs where to go. They went where they wanted to go because the way that we block straight ahead, you know, take the defender where he wants to go, let the running back make his cut. Don't ever put your butt in the hole because you close things down for the running back. And, you know, maybe there's part of that that's still there, you know, for this offensive line that's, you know, they're position blocking a little bit. It's going to, you know, obviously when the lights come on opening day, we'll see how, you know, what Eric maybe has up his sleeve for getting this whole running game thing all put back together.
And he might still have, Jerick McKinnon up his sleeve, that he was so good down the stretch of the season in the postseason last year. He's an older guy. He's had some injuries. I'm sure they're clearly not wanting to use him too much in the preseason to save him. So that is one guy they have. And Joe, just as we wrap up here, the offensive line has looked, I think, it's a really good unit. It's changed a little bit than we thought, maybe a little bit less depth. I actually thought before the preseason that Darian Kennard might start at right tackle. I think I even predicted it. Andrew Wiley's been good. Kennard, I still think he makes the team. I think he's a rookie and he could get better, but he hasn't looked, he's struggled a bit in camp. The offensive line, not quite as, they were so deep last year. It doesn't, they look good, but not deep, right?
That's what's got me fearful, Jeff, is more than
More
anything.
than the, I know it's interconnected with the running game, but you're more fearful about that than the running game, it sounds like.
I am, because I think, you know, when you look at their front five, I literally, and I, again, I'm not being a just a Chiefs homer. I really think that this, I'd put this front five up against anybody. I mean, just when you look at where they came off of last year with, you know, with how Orlando Brown continues to develop and become a great all-pro player, Tooney, the rookie years that Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith had, my goodness. I mean, you know, you just hope they don't have a sophomore slump. I mean, their freshman year, you know, was so good. You just hope that they can keep that, you know, keep that rolling. And then I think Andrew Wiley's done everything, and Andy Reid has all the confidence right now. Every time, you know, he talks about him, he talks about how he's, you know, doing the thing, and that nobody's really been able to catch him, and he's got experience on his side.
He had a
So,
great block in that Bears game, the touchdown. I think it was might have been the Blake Bell touchdown. He had a great block in that. He's exceeded my expectations.
I think, you know, Nick Allegretti and Austin, you know, Wright are really the only two sort of like air quote starters that we have right now, where you and I have joked about this before. There were times where the Chiefs, honest to goodness, had 11 starters at some form or fashion on the roster. And I know, you know, Kyle Long was, you know, was hurt and he was on the PUP and everything, and it was tough to get him back in. But nonetheless, he was still a starter at some point in his career for a pretty decent stretch. So I never had any fear that like a they were going to have a missing piece. I mean, right now the big worry is tackle. You know, I mean, could Jaron Christian or Darian Kennard, if Andrew or Orlando happen to go down or miss a game or something happens, could they, would they be, you know, I mean, I just, I don't know. I'm scared because I think Remmers was a great backup, you know, in the passing. I know we got to get Lucas back. We know that he can play and he can start. He proved that, you know, at the beginning of last year. But it's like, where do we go after that? You know, where do we go? I mean, I think we're okay. The depth inside, you know, I have all the confidence in the world in Nick Allegretti and Austin Ryder that they're not going to lose a game as the backups. They've got, you know, good starter DNA in there. But there's some, you know, if they get two or three injuries on the O-line, I just don't want to, my stomach drops. I don't want to have another Super Bowl situation, you know. And I know Brett Veach and Andy did everything they could to avoid that happening by loading up over the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years. But this year, it seems like we've taken a little bit of a step back in the depth of the offensive line. So fingers crossed, you know, everybody stays healthy and, you know, we can get this front five to carry us through the season.
Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.